Well, it happened last night. It still will have happened last night when the podcast's over.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are at a MegaCon talking about games. We talk about our favorite games we played. We talk about our least favorite games we played, and we do it all with Matt Everhart.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, and I am here at OmegaCon at the Lodge at Crooked Lake, joined by always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey, me.
And Tim Wick.
I'm over here.
Yes, and it is Sunday of OmegaCon, and so we have been playing lots and lots of board games, and as such, we decided we wanted to bring one of our good friends on with us to talk about the games we played. So please welcome our guest, Matt Everhart.
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
So, we've all been at OmegaCon. Matt, you've been coming to OmegaCon for a long time, right?
Yeah, I think I've been coming since 07.
Awesome. And we've been coming for, I think, 5 years.
Four or five.
So, Tim's been here, obviously, the whole time.
I've been here the whole time. Yeah.
This was a good year, I think. It was a very relaxed year.
Yeah.
I know every year is a relaxicon, but this year felt super relaxed to me.
I do not feel sleep deprived here on Sunday morning. I feel like I slept enough.
Any roughness I feel is not from relaxing, but from drinking. So
it was a little bit of drinking. Yeah. A little bit of drinking. And so in case we haven't talked about it enough and you don't know, OmegaCon is a weekend convention, very small, up in Simon, Wisconsin, where we take over the lodge at Crooked Lake. And there's probably, 200 people?
Yeah, probably that.
Around that, and not more than that, I'd say. And we all just wear pajamas for 48 to 60 hours and play board games and drink booze or not booze. And, it's really, really fun. Eat fried foods and just generally relax.
It is my favorite weekend of the entire year.
Wow. That's awesome. Because there's an OmegaCon Spring too. So is it now you have two favorite weekends of the year?
Yeah, no.
Wow.
The fact that OmegaCon Spring exists now is basically doubled the best weekend of the year for me. So it's great.
So obviously one of the focuses is playing board games or just any kind of tabletop game. But
yeah,
there's also some video games.
There's some video gaming, but really the focus is, interacting with other human beings at a table, playing a game that requires, bits and cards and papers and such. So Matt, what was your favorite game that you played this weekend, whether it was new to you or not?
Well, I'll mention one that I played yesterday that was a new one. I didn't play very much new stuff this weekend. That was intentionally. I mostly just wanted to stick to stuff I was familiar with this weekend. But one new game that I played yesterday that Jeremy Stomberg showed me was it's called Age of War, and it's just a simple dice rolling game. But it has I really like the flavor and I really like the mechanics. It has a Tokugawa era Japan sort of vibe. You're taking over castles of various different clans, and you do this by rolling dice. The dice have different symbols, and you have to have the appropriate symbols on the dice to take over certain castles. So once you capture a castle, you can then try to capture other people's castles if they haven't locked that clan down yet. So towards the end game, there's lots of sort of fighting back and forth over that. It takes 10 to 20 minutes to play.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a big sucker for the Japan flavor. So
yeah, that's one of our it's an FFG game. It's one of the little ones we have. It's in that little box Hey, That's My Fish or Empire vs. Mm-hmm. I have not yet played it, but that sounds really fun.
Yes I was impressed.
Shogun Farkle.
Yeah, I think it is based similar to Shogun. Yeah, Tim, what about you? What was your favorite game you played this weekend, new or otherwise?
I played mostly games that I've played before. We talked about doing this before the convention. I was super excited about playing Legendary. I have played 3 rounds of Legendary, which is awesome. This morning, all 4 of us played against Galactus, and we got our asses handed to us.
Yeah, that was rough.
Which is unfortunate. But last night, we played the new Guardians of the Galaxy expansion.
Just straight up.
Straight up. Went up against Thantos, and we took that motherfucker down.
We did kill Thanos.
Thanos.
It was pretty great.
We took him down.
And it was not easy. It wasn't like, oh, this is this game, this mechanic is flawed or anything. It was really, he gave us a run for it.
Well, Galactus is incredibly high. Previously, the highest toughness in the game was 20. And you can leverage against that with cosmic power. But Thanos' power is 24. And you cannot leverage cosmic power in the same way against him to lower his toughness.
But Galactus eats areas, and that was way ahead of him, right?
The problem is the Galactus is slowly eating away at your city, which means that villains are escaping faster, and the scheme that we chose, the way you lost, was by having a certain number of heroes
KO'd. Chose the hardest combination.
That combination of that scheme twist
If the Master Strikes, were gathered so close near the beginning of the deck, if we'd been a little lower on the Master Strike category. I fucking love Legendary, and I had a blast playing it this weekend, even when we lost. So
awesome!
It's a solid deck building game. Although I will say, like, just in terms of trends over the last few years at MegaCon, deck building games like 4 or 5 years ago were so in vogue, and that's like everyone was playing Dominion. And they've really waned in the last couple of years. I didn't see anyone playing Dominion this weekend.
Nobody played Dominion this weekend. There was a lot of Legendary.
I didn't see any Penny Arcade either, usually there were like 2 or 3 games of that going at a time.
Yeah, it's just cool kind of year to year there's always like the game
trends.
Trends in like the game of the
tell what's
going to
be hot.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Tokaido. Everyone was playing Tokaido.
That was my copy.
Yeah.
We bought a copy after that.
I know. I think I sold probably like 10 copies of that game.
We would have sold 11 if I could find a fucking copy.
Yeah.
They're out of print. And
they're hard to find.
They've been out of print for like 6 months.
I saw one at Universe Games on Friday on our way here.
What? God.
They don't just have it on Amazon?
Amazon's, speaking from lots of experience, Amazon's board game situation is not always great because they discount everything. So a lot of people won't necessarily default to selling to Amazon if they can, but a lot of times they'll have it. So, Nick, what was your favorite game, new or otherwise, that you played this weekend?
I had a lot of fun playing Legendary with the new expansion, but I think my favorite game this weekend was Concept.
Why did you feel playing that?
It's kind of like charades. You have a big board with 4 columns of symbols, and the symbols all kind of have like a master cheat sheet kind of to explain what the different symbols mean. Though they're mostly pretty easy to understand just from looking at them. So.
Like pictographs more.
You can take, you have like 5 different categories of groups of hints, and you have one of those things that you can put on any category to indicate that's what people are trying to guess. A phrase, a person, a place, an object, that sort of thing.
A movie.
And then you put little colored squares of the same color on the other different things on the board to kind of try to like paint an outline of what you're trying to get them to guess.
Yeah.
And so you could say like, this has something to do with, and then do location, and then the same colored cubes as location, you could put cubes on red, white, blue, and a star, and someone would be like, okay, I know the location has something to do with America. Mm-hmm. And then you could say like, it's a male, and it's like a person of political power, and you know, like other defining characteristics, like you could do like head yellow for like blonde hair or something like that.
Yeah.
It sounds very abstract.
Or if you want to be racist, it could also be Asian.
Right. and that totally comes up actually because it's just such a quick shorthand for defining like who you're trying to get people to guess.
Yeah.
That it totally happens. Like there's absolutely a little bit of like
racism.
Incidental or casual racism.
Or sexism, too.
Yeah.
Or sexism, totally.
Like if you're trying to get them to guess, you know, if you were trying to get them to guess James Mansfield, and you're going to be like, put it on chest and then big, you know, like things like that. Because, you're trying to find defining characteristics, and those aren't always the most sensitive.
I would think that, if you know someone well who you're playing with and you sort of have the same sort of mental wavelength or, like, references, that might help you play this game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, my twin brother and I played this, we would kick butt.
Yeah, Nick and I do better when we you know, and the same thing, anyone that you're close or friends with.
Right.
Secret twin language.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, and I don't know, like, anytime you're categorizing or pigeonholing or defining, like, quantifying or qualifying people, that's inherently, there's a little bit of, like, risk of someone getting a little offended.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, it's a game you play with friends, so.
I was kind of joking about it anyway, because I don't think it's inherently offensive. It's
sure.
What you're trying to do, you want to get somebody to identify an Asian person,
yeah.
You know, and it's that's one way to say, hey, this is the kind of individual you're considering, or you use the color black to identify that you're trying to identify
the
black person.
The example that was given to me when I first sat down to play was the location America thing,
mm-hmm.
and then they did guess a male in political power, and then they did the symbol for half, and then they did put a cube on white and a cube on black. And it was like...
Colin Powell!
Yeah, right. Exactly. But yeah.
I thought it was a really fun game. They've got a point system, which doesn't really matter at all.
Well,
I think,
sure. In the instructions, they're like, yeah, we threw in some point markers, but we don't really use them.
Right.
Also,
yeah.
Also, there's not enough to even, like, make the game work, really.
No.
It kind of sounds a little bit like Dixit in the sense that it's very abstract. And
yes.
So sort of like, making sense
or
of
the Lego creationary game.
Oh, yes.
Where it's like, yeah, but come on.
Yeah, it's more about just having fun with it rather than
school. And that's... That's how we ended up playing. Was we were ended up just being like, fuck it, let's not do teams presenting anymore. Let's just do individuals presenting, and everyone can guess. And we just freeformed it and had more fun doing it that way. And I think the game naturally leans towards just whatever way you think you're having the most fun play it is the right way to play it.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna buy it probably after this, because it'd be fun to take home. For the holidays, to play with like my mom and my mom's and my sisters, because kids could play it fairly easily. I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing, each card has several options on
from
easy to difficult.
Nice.
So it allows you kind of tailor it to if you've got kids, you can play a little closer to the easy
or
end of the card.
Or people who aren't as good as that at thinking abstractly.
Yeah. Some of the catchphrases, trying to get people to guess, talk the rear legs off a donkey.
Wow.
That's really, really
never
hard.
Never even heard
to,
of that idiot.
Yeah, no, I hadn't either, but Net Lightning Never Strikes Twice was like one that came up last
night.
That's
a good one.
Just trying to get people to guess that with the... Just very, very simple
weird
ideas.
Symbols.
Well, and the interesting thing is you can give hints in the way that you set things up. So, like, I had one with Mount Rushmore.
Mm.
And one of the things that I did is I went to the face symbol and I put four little things down next to it to kind of point
four
out.
Heads, four
yeah,
faces.
Four heads.
I would think
for Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I would think that, like, a linguist or, like, an archaeologist would be good at this game.
Oh, sure.
Maybe, yeah.
Well,
they might be better at guessing than giving hints.
Yeah.
They'd probably be giving really esoteric hints.
Or
yeah.
you can – so putting more cubes down on one thing can mean a number of things, or it can mean, like, more of something.
And
so, like,
emphasis. Like,
right, emphasis.
Really important,
like,
that
this
you guys
thing.
Notice that
and
this is
the
a
order
person.
You put them down in can be important, so you can pick them up and put them down again to emphasize the order in which they're being put down. But for when I first played, Richie Rich was one of the options. So I just put a big, huge pile on the money one, and then did, like, young male, fictional, like, cartoons and comics. And then it was...
From there, it's like,
from
that at least narrows it down.
It was like, Bruce Wayne. Wait, no, Richie Rich.
By the way, can I amend my earlier answer to my favorite game this weekend? Actually,
No, you can't do that. It's too late.
Okay, just real quick. It was I actually think it was Vegas Showdown. Laurie Richardson and Seth Sweep showed me this game, and I've seen them play it a million times.
It's casino building.
And I find it's casino building. You get to bid on different rooms, and then you put the rooms together in different orders to make casinos.
Cool.
And it just totally scratched like that little kid itch inside my brain of like just building stuff and putting things in order and like making a little scene of something.
Fun.
I don't know. It was really great, and I definitely want to buy that one.
And so. it's got a bidding system where you can bid for something, but somebody else can outbid you.
Yes. So there's a lot. That's where the dickery comes in.
Yeah.
Sure.
That was a real estate game that we played 2 years ago at AmeriCon.
Oh, yeah. The one with Eric Knight. The one that was like, it's kind of like Bonanza, but with houses or something.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
that.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. That's a card game.
Delicate bidding as a game mechanism. I love it. It's so cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so you can fuck people over.
And there's a lot of good interaction there. You know, that's sort of a nice mix of you're building your own stuff, but then there's also good interaction.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. My favorite game that I played this weekend was, honestly, it was Dead of Winter, which was a, not just because I won, which I did, it was awesome, but also because it's, so it's basically, it's like Battlestar Galactica with zombies, that's the best way to describe it.
Betrayal on Zombicide Galactica.
Betrayal on Zombicide, yeah, yeah, but... So it's kind of a role-playing game in that you are, you know, you are portraying a few survivors and you're all working together. You live in this colony. And there's, you know, you're playing against the game. So it's one of those things where the mechanics and the adversity is built into the game.
Nice.
Into the decks.
Everyone does have individual goals as well as a group goal, whether or not you're a traitor.
That's where, like, the Battlestar Galactica thing comes in.
Now I'm interested. This sounds
so
very
like
interesting.
They hand out objective cards, and one of them could be a betrayal objective card, and you just don't know. And so you all have to... So
but there might not be a traitor.
There might not be a traitor. And you can vote to exile people, and you can...
Four players, there were eight objectives that went in.
And only one was
a betrayal. And only one was a betrayal.
And I got it. And I got my condition to win through trickery, which I never do.
Dang.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But the only...
Exiled Amy Stomberg.
And this is going to... So this is... It's very fun. It's hard to find. It's a $100 game, and it's been very difficult to find. It's by Plaid Hat. I don't think they were accounting for how it took off, so...
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, but I will say if... this is going to segue into my next question for you guys, because it was also my least favorite game this weekend because of the way that it was written. The rule book was the rule book was written in a way that the rules were in like eight spots, and sometimes they were on the cards, and sometimes they were on the board, and sometimes they were in the rule book, and sometimes they were on other things.
Yeah.
And so it was very like, as we were setting up, there was no easy like, hey, it's your first time playing, so here's the steps you need to make sure you're doing.
They had a recommended scenario, and that's it.
Which is fine, but I think even the inclusion of a one-sheet new player start, it's how to start the game, the rulebook was written as though you are playing with someone who already has played the game and knows what they're doing to walk you through it. So that was a little frustrating for all of us. And it was me, Jeremy, Amy, and Nick playing. So, you know, two of us work for a game company, and two of us work
for...
And Amy and Nick both work in, like, highly technical fields where they have to read a lot of manuals.
Yes.
We're all very well versed at reading technical manuals,
and critical of manual design.
Yes,
and
still we were like,
technical
boy, like, I don't know how this is.
Which means that, you know, the best thing to do for somebody who wants to play the game now would be to play with one of you guys.
Yeah,
yes.
you don't.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
That's,
best. Yeah, just like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah,
it's
really hard to sit down and figure out Battlestar Galactica with four people,
especially if you're starting with expansions and not just the bare game.
Even just the base game,
it's really
tough. And
it is.
There's always the thing on OmegaCon where playing a complicated board game for the first time here
is such a
time investment.
Yep.
Yeah,
I refuse to do it now. I've just given up on that process. It's just not. This is not the time or place to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree.
So leading into that, Matt, I know you didn't really play a lot of new games, but did you play any game, whether it was the game itself or just the experience this weekend, that was your least favorite?
Well, I was sort of a funny answer, but Tokaido was sort of my least favorite because here's why. So I love that game. I'm the one who introduced it to everybody last year, and it's really popular. It's a fantastic game, and I still love it, and I will always love it. But I had played it 15 or 20 times, and I had never won. Never, not once. And you know, I'm not that competitive of a person, but I am a but I am enough of one.
You're
I am
a human being, for God's sake.
I'm enough of a competitive person that eventually it started to grate on me.
Yeah.
And so I played twice earlier in the weekend, and the second game I really thought I had a chance, and then I didn't win, and I was just like, fuck this game. I am done with it. I'm never playing again. I just get so salty. Okay.
Yeah.
But then, like, Claire Alexander was like, oh, I want to play with the expansion. We got to play one more time. Please, please, please. And I was like, oh, fine. So we played last night with the expansion, and I finally won.
Yay!
It's true.
I finally won.
He beat me.
Barely, by two points.
That's super funny.
So it just, I feel like this weight off my shoulders.
I had the same problem with Battlestar, where like every time I played, I wanted so goddamn bad to be the Cylon. I wanted so bad, and I never got to
be
the Cylon.
You would be
such a bad liar.
I know, but I just wanted, that's why I was so happy with Dead of Winter. I was like, it's me, it's me.
I get to be the guy.
So for me, I enjoyed most everything I played this weekend. I guess the worst experience, I like playing Resistance, but there are kind of personalities that grate me a little bit the wrong way when you're playing Resistance.
Yeah.
Now, when I play Resistance, I'm kind of like you, Molly. I always want to be the spy.
Yeah.
I don't fucking want to be the Resistance. I want to be the spy. I want to take everybody else down. And I got to be the spy, which was my first worry, because every time I played the game where I've been the spy, somebody screwed up, you know, the secrecy rules.
Oh,
somebody is screwed up, and somebody, then we have to restart, and
yeah.
I end up being Resistance. So I finally got to be the spy all the way through. But there were – and I – there were just a couple of people that I was like, they were like, let's play another game. I'm like, I need to find something else to
do. I'm hungry. I got to go get some food.
And you know, it's more – there's just the game can get kind of shouty.
Yeah,
which kind of bugs me when it gets really shouty. You're the spy. No, you're the
right.
spy. I'm not the spy. And it's like if you're playing it, I feel like – And what I found out is the person who was shouty in the next round was a spy, and they got really quiet, so everybody knew right away. It's like, dude, you got to play the game the same way, whether you're a spy or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that kind of, I don't know, it just, it's a minor thing, because I got to be the spy, and we totally fucking won.
Right, but personality is really great. Like,
yeah.
Especially if you're playing a game that can be like, I mean, it's an hour of intense... like dealing with people, and if you're sitting, there's times when someone's been like, "Oh, we're gonna play this game." I'm like, "Great!" And then they bring their friend, and I'm like, "I don't like this guy."
And now you don't want to
sit
here
and play a fucking game with this guy.
Or
no one said you could invite him.
Or you make an excuse and go like, "I gotta go do something else. Sorry, bye."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Whew, thank God."
Yeah, everybody at AmegaCon, we're talking about you.
Yeah.
Each
I don't
one
really
of you.
Like most
of you. Oh fuck! You know what? I got another thing. I'm sorry because I was in the cribbage tournament.
Oh.
I made it to the semifinals.
Yes.
And it was a best two of three, which is done. It makes sense. Cribbage is certainly luck based, but if you play two out of three, the skill can tend to rise to the top.
Yeah.
Right,
if you're
right.
playing somebody who's fairly equal, then you know, it can turn into a little bit of luck in the semifinal round. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's like I literally in the last game, I never had a hand that was higher than my opponent's hand.
Oh, that
Not
sucks.
Once. And it was like,
so you just got hosed.
It just sucks when you're like, there is nothing I can do as far as skill to save this. Because you're looking at a hand and you're going, the best cut's going to give me two more points.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yep.
yeah.
And I've got four. You know,
yeah.
and that kind of sucked. I hate losing games when I feel like I have no control over the outcome.
Yeah.
And see, that's the only time where I'm like, whatever, I have no control over this. I mean, I got shitty cards. What am I supposed to do?
No, I'm like, God damn it, I'm a good cribbage player, and if I got one fucking different card hand, I'd be in this game.
Yeah.
So,
Nick, what about you? Worst experience, worst game?
I really love playing Salad Bowl. And I probably played like three or four games of it this weekend.
Yeah.
What?
You should explain Salad Bowl because
everyone takes slips of paper and writes down a name. It could be a fictional person, a real person. It could be a nickname. It could be a stage name, nom de plume. It could be a name that is an in-joke, a non-existent hypothetical like person. Molly and I have been known to put in Eins, zwei, Hollywood Dog, which is specifically how our dog would answer the phone
if he was a Hollywood agent. Yeah.
Ha. So
Eins, zwei, Hollywood Dog. What? He's out of there. I'll never hire him again. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So the only rule is at least one other person in the game has to get
yes.
the name. Yeah.
And so Friday night there tends to be a few friendly games. Where you're not out to like put in ridiculously hard stuff, but you know you want to keep it fun and competitive. And then you split into two groups, and you don't know which group you're on before you write the things. So you can hoist yourself by your own petard by putting in something that's...
Yep.
If Nick puts in something that's an in-joke with me, and then we're on opposite teams, it's a lot
that's
harder
not
for
good.
Us.
Right.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, there's a cutthroat game.
Yep.
Which is you put in nothing with more than 10... words to the name is our gentleman's limit for that.
Jeez.
And it got tested like at
I'm
least
sure.
twice.
I'm sure.
You put in difficult stuff. You are out to fuck people
yes,
over.
Yes.
And there's a lot of getting hoisted. But we had someone who hadn't played Salad Bowl in quite a while playing with us, and she put in a number of movie titles.
Which
are not allowed.
Not allowed.
But we didn't realize it until we were in the middle of the game.
And so there was a few points where, you know, you only have a minute of time to go through your hints and get your team to guess, charade style, kind of. And
you can't pass.
You can't pass. So there were several times where a presenter on either team was interrupted or stopped or questioned or whatever because they hit one of these speed bump ones, and they'd be seconds.
It happened on both sides.
It happened on both sides, and there were other complications in that similar vein to that, where it's like, this isn't fair or right. Like, the timer didn't get started for the other team until 8 seconds into their...
That's a fairly significant amount of time.
Eight seconds could be two to three names if you're on a roll.
It's huge in Salad Bowl, right. Yeah. And so it was just a really, really less than ideal game of Cutthroat Salad Bowl.
The Cutthroat can also take a long time as well. I'm sure that that was a long game.
Yeah, By
the end of the game, even though, like, I think our team won...
Yes.
It doesn't really matter. By the end, I was just kind of like, I'm tired of playing this.
Yep.
I like Salad Bowl. I don't like the Cutthroat game.
I generally agree.
Because it takes too long. Because it's all about dicking everybody around. Because if you write something dickish, you're the one that inevitably is going to get fucked over by it. And it's just like, I don't know. I like playing the regular game. I find the Cutthroat game kind of tiresome.
See, I love the Cutthroat game. But the thing is, maybe I just have a better, I don't mean to cast judgment, but a better attitude than a lot of the people that I play with sometimes. Where it's like, I just don't care, man. Like, I'm just there to have a good time. And I'm not getting upset if I only get one, and I'm not getting upset if I don't know what's written down. A lot of people will be like, I don't even know who this is, and it's like, well, of course not. That's okay though.
That's
like,
the point. Get them to guess something else.
And so
else.
maybe it's just because I lose a lot of games. I've grown up losing games, so it doesn't ever bother me. It never bothers me to lose, and I think that's a good attitude to be here with. I think a lot of people come to a MegaCon and they don't like losing, and that's bad for a weekend of gaming.
It's not. It's Cutthroat to me, it's not about losing. It's just about the fact that it gets kind of ridiculous.
Sure.
You know, people put in crazy names where you're like, there's no good way. You got to go like syllable by syllable because there's no good way to get him to the name.
Yeah,
and it's
that's tough.
After a while, it just gets boring to me.
Anyway, so that was our MegaCon rant roundup. I would say, like, hey, you guys, you should all come to a MegaCon. But to be perfectly honest, not really, because the hotel situation is pretty much full up, and it's not really the kind of thing that you can just...
There's a Best Western down the road, less than a mile away.
If you wanted to come check it out, you could do that. It's very relaxicon, but it's definitely not the kind of thing that like a million people come to, and because it's 2 hours out of the city.
It's not like Convergence where it's this big thing.
It's
just tiny.
It's intimate.
Yes.
Yeah, but I will say, you know, if you're listening to this episode, if there's a board game that totally you're jonesing on right now, my kids are totally into tabletop gaming.
Nice.
We're always looking for new games, for new suggestions.
Yep.
So,
and also there is Spring at MegaCon, which I don't believe is necessarily always full with hotels. So if you're really interested in checking out a MegaCon in the spring, it's the last weekend in April.
26, 27, something like that.
And so if you want to swing through and check it out.
Spring MegaCon is, strangely enough, even more chill than fall
MegaCon.
I'm not a fan, but a lot of Spring MegaCon is definitely...
Is it too chill for you, Melanie?
No, it's my birthday weekend, and I don't like the weather. This whole hotel in April just smells like an armpit because it's just damp outside.
Oh, sure,
and
sure.
They don't have
it's
any
spring,
air conditioning,
okay.
And it's hot, and
my counterpoint to that would be, in the spring, they don't have like a fryer running in consuite with like a mist
of.
Do.
They still do.
No,
the consuite doesn't run the fryer.
Yeah.
They did the 1 year we were here, so maybe they changed it.
Just that fryer just kills me, man. I don't like walking through a hallway and getting acne.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's the spring. That's our fall MegaCon roundup. Thank you, Matt. It's time for five questions.
Oh my
ready?
God! I actually did some preparations this morning to come up with answers. So,
five questions. First question is: what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Well, technically, looking at the last 30 days, I think the only movie I've seen in the last 30 days technically is Captain America 2, which I had already seen before.
Sure.
Matt and I are in the middle of watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, which is we just finished season one, so we watched Captain America 2 at the appropriate
time.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to stretch it out a little bit, I would say the best one I've seen recently is Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
You guys have already had that podcast about it, which I was very excited about because I was like, oh, you know, this movie was so good, and it just scratched on all these really good points I like to be scratched in a sci-fi movie, and so I really, really like that movie.
That movie is showing in the MegaCon movie room
right
now.
Literally next door.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, it's probably just about ended, so.
Yeah. Question number two.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite atheist character?
I know this. I know that. So first of all, this whole question is difficult because it's like I found that there are very few like fictional characters who are like overtly like I am an atheist. Ta-da!
Yeah.
And I don't really know that many of them. So I'm going to go with like, a character who has been used on the show before. I know some other people have said this, but it's got to be Quoth. From the I'm only partway through book one, so I haven't even read them all yet. I know, but he's just great.
In a world where there are there's magic,
yep,
and there are supernatural creatures and things, he is ultimately kind of trying to truth seek and debunk myth,
yes,
and find out what the actual truth of these myths, these boogeyman stories,
yeah.
Are.
And even the opening of book one, are all the guys come in with a scrail, and they're like, "It's this demon!" Ah! And then he's like, "No, man, this is just this creature. I know exactly how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like using actually like things that I've learned scientifically,
yeah.
And let me go deal with this."
But even the magic system in the sympathy,
yes, it's all based on like a thermodynamics.
Yeah,
and so on.
Really, you need a strong understanding of physics in order to use it well.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
I love that.
Me too.
So it's a book series, just.
Kingkiller Chronicles.
King Killer.
The Game of the Wind and the Wise Man's Fear are the first two books.
Two books, a novelette, and two short stories.
Okay.
And the third book's coming out eventually.
Yes.
And another book before that.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
Oh, this is a difficult one for me, but I think I've got a really good one here. And it's going to be watching Street Fighter 4 tournaments on Twitch.
What?
So, all right, so
that's amazing.
If you guys know what Twitch TV is,
okay. FFG has their world championships on Twitch.
They do, that's right.
Yep.
So Twitch is a website you can go to. People stream themselves playing video games. You get to watch other people play video games. This sounds, some people might think this sounds really boring, but it's hugely popular in terms of like video streaming online.
Yeah.
It's the number one site on the internet for any sort of video streaming.
They do it for
people make a reasonable living doing this.
Yes.
They do it for
some
board
do.
Game championships. Like they sit for Ticket to Ride and other things.
I
like
watch
that.
Match
yep.
of the Gathering tournaments on there
yep.
all
yep.
the time too. So but
people are getting busted.
Yes.
Is there like a
oh really?
Yeah.
Is there an announcer or are you just
oh yes
it?
Yes. So and actually oh man, David Chen and Super Dave man. So those are my
Super
guys.
Dave Osborne?
No, different Super Dave. So Street Fighter tournaments. There's several big ones every year, but the biggest one is the Evo Fighting Tournament in Las Vegas. It's the weekend after 4th of July weekend every year, and it's just like this huge blowout. The big commentators. The best players from all around the world.
Huh.
I just get so hyped for it every single year. I just can watch it for hours.
That is awesome.
That is pretty
geeky,
though.
Yeah.
Super
that's
awesome.
Amazing.
And I'm not even that good at Street Fighter 4, but like I just love watching the technical aspects of it. And these experts at their best. So
I feel the same way about Magic. I'm not that good at it, but I love watching.
I also like watching Magic.
So some guy recently in one of the Magic the Gathering tournaments
mm-hmm.
is streaming on Twitch. And people noticed that he had some tricky shuffling.
Really?
And he got busted for it because of the Twitch streaming.
Ticket to Ride, too. The world champion of Ticket to Ride got his championship title taken away because people – the referee didn't even notice it. People on Twitch were commenting and saying he took an extra turn or he played an extra card.
Yeah.
Like, and
they have those top-down cameras that kind of see everything.
Yep. Question number four is what is your favorite sandwich?
Again, thought about this for a long time, and I ultimately opted for just one that I make at home. And I find that, you know, the food that you make always tastes a little bit better because have your handcrafted touch to it. So just a simple turkey sandwich. So toasted sourdough, ranch dressing, turkey, bacon, tomato, butter lettuce. I think that's it.
I like
sourdough ranch club.
The first time we heard
pretty much.
Ranch dressing as a part of the favorite.
Yeah, ranch dressing is good. I like butter lettuce. It's got a sweet quality to it that I enjoy.
Yep.
It's got a light crunch.
It does.
Yeah, like a gentle crunch.
And I almost went with mayonnaise, and it would totally be great with mayonnaise. But ranch gives that a little bit of an extra flavor.
You're a mayonnaise person, not a Miracle Whip person.
Oh God, Miracle Whip is terrible.
Oh, it's the best. Oh,
you're off the podcast, dude. In about 3 or 4 minutes when we're done.
It's one of the things we universally agree on is the three of us are all Miracle Whip.
Oh dear.
So question number five: what is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said about your atheism?
I guess I've never had anyone overtly say something to my face. It was just
or
like, wow.
Or atheism in general.
Right. I would say, because I guess most people I know who are all say atheists are pretty cool with it. Matt reminded me of an experience when we were talking about this earlier. On Facebook one time, somebody said something about the Pledge of Allegiance and the under God phrase being in there.
Yeah.
And he was like, people need to get over it because this, you know, this country, there's a lot of religious people, so just deal with it. And I was just like, and this is a gay guy who lives in South Dakota, who is like spouting off this like conservative sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I called him out on it, and I was like, you know, gave the whole history of the under God phrase being, you know, added in the 50s and all that jazz. And he just gave all these stupid responses and just very much like hard-headed sort of thing. And I was just like, wow.
To me, I'd be like, well, all right, buddy. So you're in South Dakota. The only way that gay marriage is going to be legal in South Dakota is if the Supreme Court basically legalizes it across the entire country.
Yeah.
So should you just get over it?
Yeah, he just doesn't even care about any of that stuff. There is a subsection of gay guys out there who are very conservative and they grew up in the country or whatever, and they just don't really care about all the political stuff, which is really a shame to me. And they just sort of want to live their life.
Which is fine.
It's very myopic.
It's kind of silly when you're saying, well, get over it. And it's like, well, dude, you know, there was a time in this country where you basically, if you were gay, it was really courageous to come out of the closet.
Yeah, in some parts of the country, it still is.
It still is.
Yeah.
So should people, are you basically saying, well, get over the fact that you have to stay in the closet? Is that what you're saying?
Well, more to the point.
And get over the whole, like the God thing is in the Pledge of Allegiance. Get over that. And it's...
In terms of the history of our country, it was a very recent addition. And so it's silly to say get over this recent addition.
As a high school teacher, every Monday I have to lead the class in saying the pledge. Mm-hmm. And it's like really awkward because first of all, the pledge itself is really kind of creepy to me. It kind of is. It's very brainwashing.
Jingoistic.
Yeah. And then secondly, there's that whole one nation under God part. And I'm like, you know, do I make a big thing out of it by being very consciously like, hey, kids, I'm not going to say this part.
Yes.
Or do I just kind of go along with it and just let's start my lesson? I don't say it. But
just say one nation, indivisible.
That's exactly what I do.
I have to do that for Cub Scout meetings too.
And no one's called me out on it, so we'll see. But
yeah.
When we get to one nation under God, I'm like, one nation.
Yeah. I just sit quiet.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's just like
the mumble.
Well, it's just like when you go to church and everyone.
One nation under song.
And they say stand up and, you know, whatever. Yeah, you just stand up and you just sit there standing quietly. You don't say anything, whatever. But, all right, well, thank you, Matt, very much for being on our podcast. We've been friends and you've been a fan of a long time. So
I've been wanting to come on for a long time.
Fantastic. We've been Geeks Without God. You guys, we really need 5 answers. So send in your answers to our 5 questions. You can send them to 5questions@geeksithoutgod.com. Please comment and let us know what board games you've been playing that you love, or any other tabletop game, anything you hated too. If you picked something up and you were like, this is not worth your money, don't buy it. We'd love to hear that because we are snarky individuals who like to talk about things we don't like.
Like Jeremy Stomberg.
Jeremy Stomberg.
Right, so you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and like us and rate us on iTunes and all that stuff. And thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. I should have put in Daenerys Stormborn Targaryen, rightful queen of the Andals and of Westeros and heir to the Iron Throne, mother of dragons and all those other fucking things she's got.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
You don't understand how to devour food, because if you did, it would not be a problem.